battle for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
Hello and welcome to WZBC Sports Podcast Season 2, Episode 8, as I'm here with my friends Landon Comashane and Lake Jake DiLorenzo, as we're going to preview BC's upcoming basketball season. Starts this Friday, 7 o'clock against Maine. We'll start this podcast off just going a quick overview of the 16-17 BC Eagles team. 9-23 overall, a 2-16 record in the conference, in the ACC conference. They scored 72.5 points a game, let up 78.4 points per game. That's 200th and 300th in the country overall. They played the 122nd hardest schedule in the country. And I guess what you would say, a season where we saw a lot of signs, a season where we saw a lot of good things, a lot of players stepped up, but also a season that was overall disappointing. That wasn't the record that you'd look for. You didn't get the tournament win that you'd look for, as BC lost in the first round of the ACC tournament to Wake Forest. But definitely a lot of good signs going forward, and a lot of players who can really do a lot of damage this year as this team reloads and looks towards the 17-18 season. So I'll just give it over to you, Landon. What one player in particular are you really looking to take the reins of this team?
Well, I'm kind of looking at Jordan Chapman, who kind of surprised us with his shooting coming into last year. No one really knew what to expect from a guy coming from BYU who's actually in the law school. We found out when he came off the bench to start out the year that he could really shoot it and was a great 3-and-D option off the bench this year. It looks like he's going to be more of a starter. He kind of had that role for a couple games last year. And I think Chapman is going to have to really step up the scoring, and he's going to have to look for a shot, because with much of the attention going to be focused on Kai Bowman and Jerome Robinson, that great backcourt, there's going to be other opportunities for guys to get shots up. And I think Chapman's going to have to be one of those guys who's got to be a reliable guy who can play a lot of minutes, shoot a lot of threes, and play respectable defense. But, I mean, those three players are really going to be the key, and they're really the core of this BC leadership that's going to start the season on Friday.
I think you're exactly right, Landon, and especially given the recent departures from this team. As we all know, last season, at the end of the season, A.J. Turner transferred to Northwestern. He was a mainstay, actually, at the forward spots, played 31 minutes per game last year, started for 14 of the squad's 18 games. Or conference games, excuse me. But and now with this, just last week, the news of sophomore Mike Segay also transferring away, the athletic forward as well. Jordan Chapman's going to get major, major minutes for this team. And he actually played very well last year for the team. Shot 41.1% on 5 3-pointers a game in conference play. And he had that fantastic game against, I believe it was Virginia Tech, where he had, I believe it was 11 3-pointers, which was the most in alumni, or in Conti history. Personally, what I'm going to look for is I'm going to look for Nick Popovich to really step up for this team. You mentioned before, we know Kai Bowman and Jerome Robinson are the two stars of this team, and we'll absolutely be getting to them later. But Nick Popovich is going to be a real key to this team. The team lost Mo Jeffers last year. Mo Jeffers, about a 20-minute-per-game guy, played some okay defense down low, did some good rebounding. But Nick Popovich is going to really step up, going to have to step up for this team. He's the only true center on the roster. Him and Luka Kraljevic, excuse me if I said that wrong. We'll get that right by the end of the year. But Luka Kraljevic, the freshman European, but he's not really going to be ready to play right away. Nick Popovich is going to have to be the guy to defend the rim, and that's really been a problem for as long as I've been at BC. Boston College hasn't been a great team defending the rim. Last season, let up almost 80 points per game, and they have great guard play. Kai's really good defender when he gets the energy to be, which he doesn't all the time. And Jerome is also a really good defender in his own right when he's able to really hunker down and he doesn't have to use his energy on the other end of the floor. But it's going to be key for Nick Popovich to be able to not foul. He's a really big fouler last year. I think I want to say at least like 10, 15 times he would come in within 5 minutes, get two quick fouls, immediately pulled for Jeffers by Christian. You could just see an exasperated expression on Jim Christian's face because Nick Popovich has some talent. He has a lot of talent. He's got a really nice lefty hook shot, which I've been really impressed with personally. He's got some good feet. In the scrimmage, I believe it was 2 weeks ago now against Bryant, I saw him actually, he didn't make any, but he shot a couple really nice looking three-pointers. So, and we've seen that from him before. So if he was just able to be a serviceable defensive player, a guy you can throw it in the post maybe 2-3 times a game to get that hook shot up, and if he's able to be a credible threat from down the floor, I think this team could have something down low, and maybe they could get a little bit, they could try to get claw back a little of the rebounding and interior defensive disadvantage that they faced last two seasons.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you kind of said it, they kind of have no choice in playing Popovich. They really have three true big men, and one of them, John Carlos Reyes, it doesn't seem like he's developed like BC had initially envisioned. And then obviously with Luka, there are questions about it, how young he is. He's being a freshman. How much is he going to play? I feel like he will get some minutes off the bench, but Popovich has been in the system. I think they're going to definitely want to focus on him. I think what was very encouraging about him last year is the energy he brought off the bench, and that he's going to have to continue that as a starter, even though he wasn't the most well-developed player. He had some energy. He made some plays, and I think what they're going to need from him is some solid rebounding and some better shots. So that's really what I'm expecting of Popovich. I expect him to be the starting center. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Christian wasn't afraid to play a little small ball. I know we can definitely talk about that a little. Stephon Mitchell, who is one of Jim Christian's incoming freshmen, he's been raving about him all preseason, and he's a big guy. He's 6'8", 222 in terms of weight. He's going to have some good potential to come off the bench, and maybe Jim Christian could bring out one of those lineups where you have DeAndre Hopkins and Mitchell as the four and the five, and that would be kind of an interesting play there to, you know, really go small on some of these teams. I don't know what your thoughts on potential creative lineups are.
So yeah, absolutely. I definitely think this team has a lot more potential to expand and go less traditional, as you said, than they did last season. And let's just give a quick breakdown of the season's roster as Connor Tavey, Mo Jeffers, AJ Turner, and Mike Segay, I believe, are the four members. And Garland Owens, excuse me. How could I forget Garland Owens? A true BC Eagle for life. But those are the five players off the team. Coming onto the team this year, freshman Stephon Mitchell, you mentioned him before, 6'8", 222. Graduate senior Deontay Hawkins, coming out of Eastern Illinois, 6'8", 220, and definitely a lot bigger than 6'8", I can say, as someone who has seen him in person. Somebody who he really moves well for his size, a very good shooter himself. I saw him in the Bryant game and the Bahamas game, the Bahamas scrimmage BC played in sometime in August, I believe. He looked very good in that. And joining him will be Luka Kraucevic, a 6'10", 229 center forward. He's from Domžale, Slovenia. And he's also one of your prototypical European big men, can shoot the three, can move well, good screener, good passer. And then the other two freshmen BC will have on their team this year will be Vin Baker Jr., son of the famed Vin Baker, the NBA Vin Baker, all-NBA second team, all-NBA third team, fantastic career for his father. Hopefully Vin can follow in his pop's footsteps a little bit. And then Avery Wilson, the freshman guard from Forest Park, Georgia, and BC's highest-rated recruit coming into this season. Haven't seen a lot of him in the first two scrimmages for BC, so there's not really a lot to say there. But anyways, that's going to be the team. So Just going off what you said earlier about Stephon Mitchell, I'm a big fan of Stephon Mitchell. I think Stephon Mitchell is going to be a really, really great player for them. And especially in the Bryant game, I think he showed some really, really nice things. So an interesting fact about him is he is a lefty, I can never get over how weird lefties are when they shoot. It always looks strange to me and not natural, but he shoots it very well. He had two straight, in the Bryant game, he had two straight three-pointers from the corner. He's a very, very aggressive player as well. Very strong, super, you can tell right when you see him, super barrel-chested. He's just willing to get right into the mix on the offensive boards every single time. In the Bahamas game, he had at least 5 offensive rebounds, and he had, I believe it was 4 in the Bryant scrimmage also. And those are in very, very limited minutes for him as well. But he looks like a very good player, very solid player, a guy who's really going to give it your all at least every day. And if they can play Mitchell, he's kind of a forward, he can shoot, but he's definitely more of a physical forward, more of a power forward as opposed to like maybe a small forward who can swing up to guards. So if he can get some key minutes off the bench, maybe giving Hawkins, giving Chapman, maybe even perhaps in some really creative lineups, who knows with Jim Christian, but maybe perhaps even playing some center given his size and his strength. Jake, who are you specifically looking on, on BC's team next year to take a big step forward?
Well, first of all, thank you, Landon and Ben, for having me on this podcast as you're giggling over there on the other couch. But, I mean, it doesn't surprise me what you're saying at all. I mean, there's not too much can expect with this team, and that's saying it very bluntly, very honestly, very critically, and not critically, but constructive criticism. There's not too much to expect. He lost some players, and you're expecting someone, as Landon really pointed out, you're expecting Popovich to really take over as the big man of this team. And last year, he didn't demonstrate at all being a reliable big man. He was in constant foul trouble, as was the problem with another recent transfer, Diallo, when he was here, always in foul trouble, had physical tools to be a good player, at least a respectable college athlete, and was just in consistent foul trouble. He was unable to stay on the floor at all times, which led to Mo Jeffers getting the beef of it, and now he's gone. And Popovich, who has the size to be reliable, I mean, according to the roster here, he's 240, he's 6'11", 7-footer. He's got a nice wingspan. He's pretty athletic. I mean, I've seen some putback dunks from him. I've seen some alley-oops to him. He can move up and down the floor. He's reliable. So maybe he can stay there and be a reliable five and big man. The problem with this team, as it is in the past 4 years, has been big men, has been the paint. They have a lack of it. The positives to note, though, as I was getting very critical there, especially on Popovich, but Bowman and Robinson have a chance to be one of the better backcourts in all of the ACC. That's a big thing to say, especially talking about the ACC in basketball of all of the big four college sports. But Jerome Robinson, Kai Bowman. Bowman averaged, 18 points a game last year in his freshman year, something along those lines?
So in conference play, I'm glad you brought this up, Jake, because I think this is really one of the most overlooked storylines, not just of the BC basketball scene, but of the entire college basketball season. So I'll read through Kai Bowman's conference stats, because that's when he really became the starter and took the reins of this team. 17.4 points per game, 3.6 assists per game, 6 rebounds per game. He shot 49% from two-point range, 47% from three-point range on 6 three-point attempts a game. That is an outrageous number. 6.6 attempts a game and 47%. That is absolutely knocked down. And personally, just from watching Kai, I mean, his ball handling got so much better throughout the season. He really kind of had sort of a loose handle, I thought, in the beginning of the year, but he really tightened it up. He's always been a very, very strong player, but his chemistry working off the ball with Robinson, especially with Jerome Robinson, was really, really nice last year. And I honestly think BC, even given the talent that you said that the ACC has, which you're absolutely right, I think Jerome and Kai are easily the best backcourt in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say easily the best. You know more about the ACC than I do, but they are going to be one of the better ones, as you see. Jerome Robinson really is, it's a good thing that he's coming back for his junior year. I mean, he's very athletic. He is streaky in terms of his shot. He either will make a bunch in a row or he'll miss a lot. The big thing with him is his decision-making, when to shoot the ball, when to penetrate in the paint, when to do all that, uses athleticism to the best of his ability. So hopefully Jim Christian does a halfway decent job of telling him how to do so and do so appropriately. But when we talk about creative lineups, I think one of the I think a lineup that you can see based on what you project out of your freshman this year and how well Christian does at coaching them and playing them in the right spots. You'll see Bowman, and I think Avery Wilson, who did a phenomenal job his senior year of high school. He was an honorable mention to be, I think, Atlantic All-State, I think it was. I forget what I read there. But I see Bowman, Wilson, Robinson, Chapman, and Mitchell being a five in a crunch time lineup. As you said, Stephon Mitchell, he plays physical. Guy who doesn't have overpowering size at all. He's not a true center by any stretch, but on a team that's going to really have to go small ball lineup predominantly the entire season, I wouldn't be surprised, especially when you say he's a physical forward compared to being a lackadaisical one.
Yeah, you talk about how Mitchell, we've talked about how Mitchell is more of a bigger guy and is more physical. That's kind of an element that we haven't seen from BC in all 4 years that we've been around. I mean, you look at the starting front court from last year, Connor Tavey and Mo Jeffers, they weren't really, you could argue that Mo Jeffers was a bit of a bruiser, but he didn't really get that physical, and Connor Tavey played from the outside. The combination of Deontay Hawkins and Stephon Mitchell provides Christian with really his first true four-man in a lineup, and I think that's something he's been raving about in the preseason. I know he's really excited for the acquisition of Hawkins in particular. It really allows them to, you know, get a better attitude in the front court, not put as much pressure on a guy like Popovich, and have these bruisers like Hawkins and Mitchell play hard and really have something to prove when they get on the court. And that's something that's really exciting for me to see, kind of complementing a very talented backcourt, guys who can go down and bully themselves in the paint and not be afraid to, you know, also go outside. So it's really that combination and the really true man at the four position that BC hasn't had in the last couple of years, and now they do this year.
And I think you touched on something that's really, really important for this season. I really liked Connor Tavey, one of the favorite players I watch. Really smart guy, but he could not shoot at all. One of the worst shooters I've ever seen. And him standing on the 3-point line, teams wouldn't guard him at all. They'd either double Popovich, or more likely, they'd double Bowman or Robinson running a pick and roll in the middle of the floor. So when you have a guy like Deontay Hopkins, who I'm just going to assume from the preseason Bryant game that he can shoot. He has a really nice looking shot. He took it without any hesitation. When you have a guy who's really a threat from out there and you can actually go four out, because if you're playing basketball nowadays and you're not going four out, you're playing it wrong. You're stuck 20 years in the past. So if he can play four out, and even perhaps five out, if Popovich, or maybe they slide Hawkins to the five, they slide Mitchell to the five, who knows what you're going to do with this team. But if they can play four out, five out, you're really opening the lanes for Robinson and Bowman to do their stuff, to either play off each other. Maybe Robinson curls around the foul line, gets a dribble handoff from Bowman, and you just have two guys who are impossible to guard on completely opposite sides of the floor, both in threatening positions. Or perhaps that opens up some more outside shots for Jordan Chapman off kickouts that could give more easier post-ups for Nick Popovich, perhaps. You can go one-on-one against a guy that might not have his kind of size or skill. But I think that's really, really important that this team it needs to have better shooting. So not only is that going to have to come from Deontay Hopkins, but the shooting that we've seen from Stephon Mitchell, it's going to have to be real. Because let's projecting this myself, I'm going off no inside information. Jim Christian does not tell me anything. But I would project the starting lineup is going to be Bowman at the point guard, Robinson at the shooting guard, Jordan Chapman at the small forward, Deontay Hopkins at the power forward, and Nick Popovich at center. So if that's the lineup, your first three guys off the bench are going to be Stephon Mitchell playing sort of the forward spots, Luka Kraljevic, who has played a lot in the he's played a lot in the scrimmages, so I think you're definitely going to see him with a big role as the backup big man. And then the starting guard spot, or the backup guard spot, is sort of up for grabs. Jake mentioned Avery Wilson. There's perhaps Irvin Mesniak makes his long-awaited return. Maybe we see a walk-on come on. Who knows at this point? But the depth is really a problem for this team. So Stephon Mitchell, Luka Kraljevic, those guys are gonna be huge, huge pieces for this team. That if they don't pan out, this team's gonna be a lot of trouble on their bench.
Yeah, you talk about the depth, and it's a lot more concerning now that Mike Segay has transferred. I mean, coming into the season, I think we all kind of expected him to be a high-energy guy off the bench. He played a little last year, didn't play a lot, but he's an incredibly athletic player that we thought was going to give you that like kind of Garland Owens energy off the bench. Now the depth is a lot more concerning because we kind of have the same expectation for the starting five, but the bench is very problematic. You're basically going to have all freshmen coming off the bench with Mitchell coming off the bench, Luka coming off the bench, and then you know that open guard spot is kind of up, obviously you said up for grabs. It's interesting because they really have never addressed the backup point guard position. They didn't do it last year. They didn't do it the year before. You kind of saw Jerome sometimes handling the ball, which wasn't necessarily good for BC's offense. I'm wondering whether they're going to have someone like Avery Wilson step up and, you know, handle the backup point guard. They really need that. And I mean, we're expecting Bowman and Robinson to play over 30 minutes a game, but there's going to have to be a time like for 10 minutes a game for someone to come in and handle the backup point guard. And I really wonder if Avery Wilson is going to be that guy. He's a talented guy that came from Forest Park, Georgia. He's got good size for a guard, 6'3", 220. So it's a little risky to see where this bench is going to go because they have some experience in their starting lineup, but kind of looking ahead, their bench is going to be pretty much all freshmen.
And I think, again, Lenny, you touched on a really, really important point. I think Jerome Robinson, again, one of the greatest players I've ever seen at BC. Again, no knock on him, but he kind of towards the end of last season, he kind of went a little bit downhill. He got a little bit less consistent, as Jake was saying earlier. He had a couple games where he wasn't as good as he usually is, and BC suffered as a team. And I think a big part of that was that after Ty Graves' transfer last year, BC had no backup point guard, like literally none. There was nobody that they could give it to. So that spot just fell to Jerome. When Kai was off the floor, it had to be Jerome running the show. Otherwise, the BC's offense would completely collapse. And as great a player as Jerome is, and he's a fantastic, fantastic player, he's much better off the ball, in my opinion. He's much better when he's another ball handler to sort of take the weight off him. And he's very capable himself. But when he's able to, like, go off some flare screens around the side, if he's able to, like, even perhaps set a pick and a pick and roll himself, or if he's just able to get the ball on the move, he has such great shot fakes, such great head fakes that he has such a big advantage when he's not just dribbling the ball up the floor. And I think he also gets really tired himself. He gets really tired from that also. A guy who has to play against the starters, he has to stay in with the bench, he has to carry the bench a lot of the time. It can really be a great difficulty for him. And also, he gets less time to play with Kai Bowman. And Jerome Robinson and Kai Bowman have some of the greatest chemistry between two players that I've seen in college basketball. They can see inside each other's heads at any moment. They can really they're playing on like a whole different level from everyone else on the floor. And when you're breaking those two guys up, especially with a team that often, let's face it, BC is going to face a talent deficit on most nights. They're going to have to win with their coaching and their smarts. So if you're kind of chipping away at the best part of your team and you're chipping away at your top minutes, that's not a great way to start. And it is somewhat concerning early in the season to see them without that backup guard spot completely filled.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, I'm kind of transitioning. I'm excited to see where Kai Bowman takes this year, because we didn't really know what we had in him until really midway through the season when he took over the starting guard spot after Ty Graves transferred. He was the only guard. And then he had his breakout game against North Carolina where he scored over 30 points, and he was lights out that entire game. We really saw the potential for him, and he really developed over the year. I think it seems like Jim Christian knows where he's headed. He's headed for a lot more development, and I think he's very motivated to improve his game. Jim Christian was in our sports broadcasting class a couple weeks ago, and he shared a story how they were down in the Bahamas, and it was after the scrimmage. Kai Bowman was shooting, like, I think he shot like 2 for 7 from 3-point range. So they're out to dinner. It's like 10 o'clock, and they look over, Jim Christian and his wife, they see Kai Bowman on the outdoor courts just putting up some shots. So I think what's great about Kai Bowman is that he's a gym rat. He's always going to look for ways to improve his game. And we really saw him make an effort to do that as the season went on. So I think in terms of players, I'm really looking to see step up. We all know his Kai Bowman's talent level, but it's time for him to really take the reins and have that like two-headed dragon of Bowman and Robinson handling the scoring load.
Absolutely, and I really think, I mentioned this earlier, Kai Bowman had a really underrated end to last season, and I really think he's still very underrated. Kai Bowman has, honestly, NBA potential to me. This guy is, he can really do everything. He's a former football player, super, super strong. He can just get anywhere at will. He pushes centers off of him common all the time. He's got a vicious hop step in the lane that really nobody can guard. He's got really, really nice handles, a really nice crossover. His jump shot, honestly, as much as I've been raving about his physical tools, his jump shot is the best thing about him. He can shoot it at any time, any place, off the dribble, off the bounce, off the catch, no problem. Shoot it from three feet behind the three-point line. Shoot at a fadeaway mid-ranger. He can really do anything in that regard. And we saw, I commentated BC's opening ACC game last year against Syracuse when BC, they set their team record for three-pointers in Conti Forum. But in that game, he just absolutely was raining down threes, and there's really nothing you can do. He jumps super high, he releases it super high, and if you play him off the three-point line, he's just going to dunk right over. He's just going to get right into the lane, he's going to make the right pass, he's going to make the right play. And we mentioned his stats earlier in the year, early in the podcast. Bowman averaged of 17, 3, and 6 last season. I'd like to see that go up to 20 points per game. I'd like to see Kai Bowman averaged over 20 points per game this season. I'd like to see him get 4 or 5 assists this season. And the rebounds are kind of irrelevant to me, to be honest with you, especially for a point guard. We've seen point guards like Russell Westbrook last year just chase rebounds. They don't really mean anything. But if we can see him kind of keep his three-point percentage, I'm not expecting 47% again, because that is just unreal. If he shoots 47% from three-point range again, he's going to the NBA after this year. So if we could just see 20 points per game, 5 assists, see him shoot about just over 40% from three, and like, let's say 45% from the field overall, I think you could see Kai Bowman be a first-team, second-team All-ACC player. Jerome Robinson was a second-team All-ACC player last year. Kai was third of the freshman of the year voting last season. So if you can get Kai Bowman to get up to first, second-team All-ACC, Jerome Robinson stays at his about second-team, third-team All-ACC level, then you got two guys who can really carry you any night. You got Jordan Chapman, who can shoot the lights out with any of them. You got Deonte Hawkins, who's he's not only an experienced player, he's an experienced player that can actually play. Because there's a big difference between, in my opinion, a guy, especially in basketball, a guy who can who's an experienced, but if you can't play, you don't really gain the credibility, I feel like, I personally think, within the locker room. But Hawkins absolutely going to have that credibility within this Eagles locker room. You have a lot of young guys who maybe can take a step up. We haven't talked a lot about Vin Baker since the opening segment, and Vin Baker is very, very skinny, listed only 177 pounds. That's less than walk-on Matt DeLucio. So at 6'7", only 177 pounds, grew 5 inches his senior year of high school. So we'll see what can happen with Vin. We'll see what can happen with some of the other players. Maybe John Carlos Reyes finally takes the step up that we've all been waiting to see for him. But I really think there's a good core here, and I think they just need the players around them to develop. And they just need Popovich to just be all they need to be is the third option. Chapman just has to be the third option sometimes. And if they can get those guys going and just have a little bit of a cushion so not too much is thrust on Jerome and Kai, and if they can also improve their defense from last season, which will be big. And I think Hawkins is going to be a huge part of that as well. Because, again, as much as I love Connor Tavey, he just wasn't an ACC level defender. He just wasn't able to do it. And a lot of the times we saw last year, you mentioned the North Carolina game where Kai Bowman had 30 points and was sensational. And BC almost beat the national championships last year. But they got absolutely smoked on the boards that game. I believe, I from my memory, I was 3 guys in North Carolina had double-digit rebounds. And they were just, BC, they would go through stretches where they'd go a minute without getting the ball. Because it'd just be offensive rebound, offensive rebound, offensive rebound. So if BC can tighten up on their defense, they can get some more power down low from Hawkins, maybe Popovich takes a step up, I could see this team improving from the two ACC wins they have last year. I could really see them going. I'm not going to predict anything crazy, and the ACC is still probably the toughest conference in college basketball. But what do you think, Jake? How many wins would you like to see from the conference wins specifically? Would you like to see from this BC team?
I'd like to see 9 conference wins from this ACC in the ACC, but it's not going to happen. Realistically, I think they're in the same spot as last year with 2 wins. And you talk about rebounding being so important. They lost to the defending champs last year when they were on our home court, where they should have honestly won the game if not for a lot of offensive rebounding by the Tar Heels in the last 3 minutes. That game came down to the final 50 seconds, and it was offensive rebounding by UNC that won that game for them. And then I'm just going to knock, when you talk about Kai Bowman, you don't appreciate his rebounding. I think you have to appreciate the rebounding. When you talk about the biggest weakness on this team is rebounding. And it's very important, especially in a college game, that guards are boxing out as much as the big men are. And you have, and let's be honest, then it's constructive criticism. It's appropriate. It's absolutely well induced. But they have a very thin front court, and there's no reason saying that they have no big meaty players. They don't have a 6'10" forward, honestly, either. They have very small forwards and they have small guards. That's the biggest problem with this team. And when it comes down to rebounding, we saw it last year. They've probably lost 3 ACC games because they weren't able to rebound effectively and close out games. So I really think if Bowman wants to develop himself, which I'm just going on this tangent now, as a potential NBA player, he has to work on his rebounding, especially for being an undersized guard whose first instinct isn't necessarily pass first. He's a scorer more than a passer and a distributor. And he's undersized in terms of what point guards now are today. I mean, Chris Paul he's a comparable size to Chris Paul, for instance. Am I right? I mean, what's he, 6'1", 6'3"? I mean, Chris Paul's a 6-foot point guard, but you don't see any Chris Pauls anymore. Every point guard coming out of college now is 6'5". Look at Lonzo Ball. He's 6'6", for Christ's sake. Then you have, Frankie Nicks. I don't know why I brought him up, but he's 6'5", and he's long, though. Dennis Smith's a little undersized, okay, but De'Aaron Fox and Markelle Fultz, these are big-sized guards. Kai Bowman's a little undersized in terms of the NBA, in terms of that next level, and he's a scorer before he's a passer and distributor. But if he commits himself to rebounding, Jerome Robinson especially needs to commit himself to rebounding more than anyone else on this team. I mean, he's 6'6". Yeah, he's a little bit thin, but a guy who's going to be playing minutes at the 3 and even the 4 sometimes in small ball lineups that Jim Christian will most likely throw out there because he has to do the foul trouble by the few big men that are on this team. He really needs to use his length and athleticism to box out and rebound and go up for those boards. That's the biggest concern with this team. That's going to be the difference between, like you said, Ben, 2 ACC wins or maybe 5 ACC wins or 6 ACC wins. Something that'll have a real improvement is the rebounding and effort, because rebounding's effort. It really, that's all it is about it. I mean, Charles Barkley and Dennis Rodman were guys who were no taller than 6'8", who rebounded like absolute machines. They were automatic rebounders. Zach Randolph can't jump more than 2 inches, but yet he has career averages of 10 rebounds a game. Because it's all about effort. It's all about the effort you want to put in the paint. So the biggest flaw with this team, the biggest difference between 2 ACC wins, which they will, they'll have 2 or 3 ACC wins, I think. But to improve upon that and get to 5 or 6 maybe, as they should have maybe in some cases last season, it's got to be rebounding and effort, especially on the defensive end. That's all it's about.
Yeah, you kind of talk about rebounding. They're still very undersized, especially kind of at all the guard positions. You had A.J. Turner at 6'7". That was kind of a nice length. But then you have Kai Bowman, 6'1". That's undersized. Jerome Robinson has a pretty good length for a shooting guard. But Chapman, 6'5". That's undersized. Hawkins, 6'8". And then Popovich has the height, but he's not a great rebounder. So you're definitely right. That's going to be a primary concern, and they're really going to have to rebound better. I think for them to get more ACC wins, I think we're going to have to look to their bench, because it's a long season and the depth is concerning. And you have your starters, you kind of know what you're going to get from them, and they're going to be very good. But what happens when you bring them out of the game? And that's kind of what we've seen over the past couple of years. When their best players have gone out of the game, they've really started to struggle. So kind of going back to some of these freshmen, Mitchell's going to have to step up. Avery Wilson's going to have to step up. If Vin Baker gets a shot, he's going to have to step up. And I think another thing they're going to have to really, it's kind of out of their control, but it's something that's going to have to be looked at is injuries. They're really going to, they're going to have to stay relatively healthy this year to get some ACC wins, because I don't know how many players Jim Christian's going to play in a game. It's probably going to be seven maybe, because that's really all the depth they have. But if one guy goes down, if you have a Bowman or a Robinson go down early and they're out for a lengthy period of time, BC's in a lot of trouble because of that lack of depth and because of the fact that they don't have a lot of other scoring options outside of Bowman, Robinson, and Chapman. So it's going to be up to these other guys to really step up, and if they can get some production for some of their freshmen, develop them as the year goes along and avoid injuries, then I think they should get to at least six wins. This is a more talented team than this is the most talented team Jim Christian's had in his tenure, and he really has no excuses now because everyone on this team came through his recruiting. The one other thing I might be concerned about is the leadership. I really hope Jerome Robinson and Kai Bowman become those leaders, because they don't have, the only senior they have is Deontay Hawkins. But he's just coming onto the team, so he's basically a new guy. So there's no seniors, there's no guys who have been here for all 4 years. So it's really up to Bowman and Robinson to lead all these new guys. There's a bunch of freshmen, a lot of new faces, so it's really up to them, and I think Jim Christian's counting on that.
I think you made some really great points there, Landon, especially with the depth, counting on the young guys. And I'm absolutely with you. I think this team is better than last year's two ACC win team. They have a lot. They might not have depth, but they didn't have depth last year either. Kai's going to be better. Jerome's going to be better. Popovich will have to be better. You're gonna see a guy like, I don't think a guy like Chapman is gonna fall off. I don't think anything like that is gonna happen. And to be honest, as much as the players that they lost were great student athletes, they didn't really lose that much on the court with those guys. So I would expect honestly at least four ACC wins, 4 to 5. I'd love to see some growth. And to be honest with you, Kai Bowman is one of the best players BC's had since Reggie Jackson's been here. And it would just be a shame. It would just be a shame to waste his first 2 years with less than five ACC wins both times. And I really hope that they can be able to ride his talent, because he's one of the most talented guys I've ever seen, and just ride his talent. And maybe even, I know this is going to sound very blasphemous, but maybe even make the NIT this year. I predicted before the transfers that BC would win 8 ACC games and they would make the NIT. I'm a little less on that bandwagon right now, given the transfers and the depth issues, but the skeleton of the team is there. I can see a good team here. I can see two guys who can drive and handle the ball. That's what you need in a basketball team. You need shooters. They got Chapman. That's maybe you need a couple more, but that's not too bad. They have a couple of big men. I think it's about, you can kind of, if you squint, you can kind of see how this could be a really successful basketball team. So let's go on to the season here. As we mentioned, BC's going to start their season off this Friday, November 10th against Maine, 7:30 in Conny Forum. And that's kind of the beginning of their first, I always try to break teams' schedules into stretches, and BC really has one big stretch to start the season. So they play They play 8 games before their opening ACC game of the year against Duke in Conti Forum. They're going to face Duke December 9th, 12 o'clock. You're going to listen to that broadcast from your play-by-play announcer, Jake DiLorenzo. That'll be on WZBC Sports. But BC's going to have 8 games here coming up before they face Duke. And I don't think anybody expects them to beat Duke. But I would expect them to win some of these games. So they're going to face Maine, South Carolina State, Sacred Heart, Texas Tech, Colgate, Providence, Nebraska, and Hartford, of course, as we remember from last year. Hartford was the disaster of last season. But I can see them losing to Texas Tech. Providence is always a very, very talented team. I would hope BC takes the rest of those games. I would hope BC goes 6-2 to start this season. Maybe they drop one to Nebraska also and they go 5-3, but Maine has to be a win. South Carolina State has to be a win. Sacred Heart has to be a win. Those three games you got to have. Texas Tech's gonna be a little tougher, but they're not one of the blue bloods, so I can definitely see a win there. Colgate again is a little bit tougher of a smaller school, but still, BC being a Power 5 conference has to get that win. And especially the Hartford game. That's what I'm really going to be looking forward to as a fan, is let's see this team come back with a vengeance against Hartford. Because that, let's just be straight, that was an embarrassing loss last year to lose to a team, Hartford. I didn't even know there was a school called Hartford. I didn't know they had a basketball team. And I don't even think the students at the school knew. And to lose to them at home as a Power 5 team would be really bad. And I think it's going to be key for this team to get off to a good start, too. With so many young players, you mentioned the potential lack of leadership issues that they have. Well, Robinson and Bowman are no doubt great leaders, but they're still young guys themselves. So I think it's going to be key for this young team to get off to a good start. Hopefully, maybe 6-2, 5-3 in the beginning. Maybe they can kind of relay that momentum in a couple of upsets last year. We saw last year they were very close to a couple of ACC wins. They barely lost to UNC at home. They had one loss to Wake Forest, where I believe they only lost by 5 points also, and that was on the road at Wake Forest. So there were a handful of games last year that BC kind of just let get away from them, and a lot of that would happen late in the second half. They'd just be tired, not enough depth, or just frankly not enough talent a lot of time. But if we can see them get off to a better start, if we can see them take care of their business against these lower-level teams, like, they should beat Hartford by 50. There should be a mercy rule after the half or something. I want to see BC just go absolutely, just destroy this team. And I want to see the firepower that we all know is there. We all know the talent is there. We all know the team has the ability to do it. And just as we're wrapping this one up here, and kind of pivoting topics from a season overview, and Jake mentioned earlier he'd love to see a lineup with Mitchell at the five. Landon, what lineup are you most looking forward to seeing this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's that small ball lineup. I mean, we see it in the NBA with the Warriors when they put Draymond Green at the center. That's a very exciting lineup, you know, with Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. I mean, they're not going to be obviously like that, but I'm very intrigued to see what they can do for a small ball lineup. You've seen teams like a team that has success, Notre Dame. They've always gone with a small ball lineup. You have Bonzi Colson at 6'5", 6'6", as the center. You know, I they don't have like a Bonzi Colson, but if you go really small with Deonte Hawkins and Stephon Mitchell, I know we've talked about it at length, as those guys as your 4 and 5, that could be exciting, and it'd be something new, because we've always seen with Jim Christian's lineups, there's always been at least one big man, whether it's Dennis Clifford, Mo Jeffers, there's always been that true big man. But what if they kind of trotted out a lineup where there was no true big man, where there was guys, all five guys could shoot, and then you had Hawkins and Mitchell in the center being bruisers, but also being able to shoot. It's something we really don't see, because Christian's always gone with the center in his lineup. So it's a new possibility, and I think they should really go for that. I'm also kind of intrigued to see what lineups they trot out with freshmen, which freshmen get into the rotation, because obviously it's still unclear. We know some of the possibilities, but I'd really like to see Jim Christian play some of these freshmen off the bench and see them develop, because there are a lot of guys on this team that really they might be lost causes. I mean, Irvin's might be a lost cause. John Carlos Reyes might be a lost cause. So if those guys aren't working out, you got to go with some of the freshmen and see what they can give you, and kind of build a team that can have that continuity going from season to season, because they're not one of those schools where they're just going to have freshmen going out the window every year.
Absolutely. And for all you want to say what you want about Jim Christian as a coach, I think he's a good developmental coach. Kai Bowman is clearly took a humongous leap his first year. Jerome Robinson, I think, has gotten much better through his second year. It's a little more subtle. His stats haven't pumped up, but he's gotten a lot smarter, I think, and he's gotten a lot more clues about how to use his energy effectively. But a player I'm really interested to see, and a lineup I'm really interested to see, is Luka Kraljevic. I know I'm butchering this name, but the freshman from Slovenia, I'm really excited to see what he can do at center. I saw him in the he got more time in the Bahamas game that they had, the Bahamas scrimmage against some washed up like foreign professionals. But he's a really nice looking 3-point stroke. He shoots it right over his head. He's a big 6'11", so I would personally say he's 7 foot. Looking at it myself, but he's a big guy. He shoots really high over his head. From what I saw, he seems like he knows what he's doing around the perimeter, and he can make screens, he can do dribble handoffs, he can kind of not to be stereotypical, but do all the European big man stuff, the stuff that they teach you over there. And if we can get him and we run our five out lineup, we can get him at the five, say we put Mitchell at the four, Chapman at the three, and then the two stars at the guard spots, obviously. That could be a very interesting lineup. Not only could that be a really good half-court offensive lineup, but a really good full-court, like a transition offensive lineup. Because you got a guy like Mitchell who's super fast, super athletic, can dunk with any of them. We all know what our Bowman and Robinson can do. And Kraljevic himself is also somewhat nimble, I thought. I thought he looked somewhat quick. And I don't know, it would just be very interesting to see. They've got a couple other players I'd love to see. I'd love to see Vin Baker get some time. Again, very, 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 very raw still, I'm sure. And I don't think he'll be getting major minutes by any stretch. But maybe we could see him get some minutes down low. I think this is a real big opportunity for Jim Christian. He's only got one real center on the team in Popovich. Kraljevic is more of a power forward himself. So if they can start sliding a couple of guys down, maybe you play, because let's face it, BC's, we've been saying this whole podcast, BC's going to get killed on the boards. They're going to kill the boards this season, just like last season, the season before. They just don't have the hype for it. That's just not what they're playing to. That's not one of their strengths. One of their strengths is it's transition. It's running fast, shooting threes. Their best games last season, they were just raining threes down their opponents. So I'm personally excited to see what Luka Kraljevic can come up with. And I think we could see some surprising things. I think people might not get exactly what they're expecting here.
Yeah, I hope everything that the both of you just said is completely true. That's what you want to see. You want to see effort. The most important thing for this season is not about necessarily results. Like you said, they have a very young team. They lost A.J. Turner. You lost Segay. Their graduate students have left. You're only bringing in one other who might not even be the biggest contributor because you have good freshman recruits, especially at a forward position. But you want to see effort. You want to see Jim Christian really implement effort and a certain identity. And as you said, they are a team built on transition. The ACC is about that. The ACC is not like the Big East where you're going to see a lot of, grinding in the paint. Again, college ball is not like that anymore as it once was, but the Big East still has that reputation. It's a lot of tough played games. I mean, look at Georgetown St. John's last year, that whole fight, and you had the two coaches even fighting each other. The Big East is about that tough ball lineup, and maybe this just comes from me coming from a Big East territory from where I am, where I'm from, but you want to see just effort on the boards. You know you may not have that, and you said, Ben, that what is the biggest problem of this team? That's the problem you're going to see, and it's going to be very noticeable this year, is their attention on the boards, and not even on a numbers-wise. They're just going to get out-rebounded. But you want to see them try. You want to see Hawkins and Mitchell. You want to see them really, and Popovich, and the freshman who I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name. You want to see them really putting efforts in boxing out and rebounding. You want to see Bowman, and you want to see you want to see Robinson, even Chapman. And Avery Wilson, I really am expecting big rebounding from a point guard position. He is big-bodied. He's 6'3", 220. That's a big guy. I've seen him around campus. He's a thick human being. I like it. I'm a big fan of it. But you want to see these guys boxing out, and you want to see them showing the effort on defense. Because when you box out and you get a defensive rebound, that's when you go in transition. You throw it up court immediately. And they have the athleticism with Jerome and Bowman to do that exceptionally. They have that ability. So as long as you see Jim Christian preaching effort and defensive rebounding on all cylinders, you just want to see him preach the effort that this team really needs in order to make a difference. They may only win two ACC games like they did last year, and that's just going to be from a talent perspective. Like any rebuilding team, for instance, my perspective, just being a Knicks fan, I have to throw this in there. I'm not expecting much from them this season, and I'm not going to comment on what's happened the first tenth of the season. But as long as they're competitive and show good effort in all 82 games of the season, they could lose every single one of them. But as long as they show that consistent effort and ability, especially on a defensive standpoint and rebounding, then I'm happy with it. And I'm taking that same approach with this team this year, BC Eagles. I just want to see that consistent effort every single game, no matter who the opponent is. their first ACC game. Yeah, they have, you know, Texas Tech and Providence. Those are going to be their two really tough games in that first non-conference eight that they play. All the other games they should win. But when Duke comes after those first eight games, that first ACC, a ESPN game nonetheless too, on our home court, I want to see that effort. I don't want them coming into that game knowing that the number one ranked team potentially at that time with three potential top 15 picks also in the NBA draft this year coming in and just deflating them as soon as the game starts. I want to see the effort. I want to see the match go head-to-head with all these players. I want to see Mitchell and Hawkins really body up. What's his name? Bagley. There, thank you, Landon. I want to see those two guys really get on Bagley's face and make him fight for every single board and point he's going to get. That's all you can ask for. And no matter what the results are, and this really will affect Christian as poorly as it is to say, especially with Jarman coming in as the new athletic director for this school. But as long as you see that effort on the boards, especially from the guys you really expect development from, then I'm happy with what happens this season.
Let me just tell you, I agree with everything said there. You're going to love Stephon Mitchell. Stephon Mitchell is exactly that type of player. From what I've seen of him, this guy plays like an absolute animal down low. He will not be denied. So anyways, I think that's going to wrap it up here for our WZBC Sports Podcast Season 2, Episode 8. We'll be continuing to bring you updates throughout the basketball season as, again, BC playing this Friday, November 10th. Against Maine in Conti form. 7:30, you can hear the WZBC Sports broadcast, as you can for every home basketball game this season, as well as a few away games. Anyways, that's going to do it here. I'm Ben Neuwirth here with my friends Jake DiLorenzo and Landon Comashain. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.